God is awesome all the time. Children, you're dismissed to children's church too. Now, I need to tell y'all a few things for housekeeping purposes. All right? If you come in here, I think there's a misunderstanding, so we need to let everybody know. If you come in here to church before 10:30 and you hear us playing and it's really, really loud, there's a reason behind that. There's a reason. There's a reason to the madness, and that is these guys have played professional for years, and they know, and Randy is a professional sound man. These guys know that in order to have the service right, you have to play as if there's 100-plus people in here at practice. You adjust it for 100-plus people. That's why when you come in here and it's going to blow your ears out, don't worry, it will cut down. What happens is, though, as people come in, it's easier to drop her down already prepared than to be down here and try to prepare it and go up. Okay? So if you come in here and it's about to blow your ears off, hold on, it will go down. Okay, just want y'all to know that. If somebody comes in here with you, hadn't heard me say that, and they go, is that, wow, I can't even hear myself think. And you just look at them and say, well, I'm glad I can't hear you think either. Amen. So again, know that. And also, we got this thing going here. It'll be in your bulletin that we've got this website that we're on that you can go to. And we're going to start using it for the children's church. We'll have like 6,000 different videos we can use for the kids in church. So we're not going to be limited to what kind of videos we got. Plus, there's also family training and Bible training. So what we're going to do is if you want to get on it, it doesn't cost you a dime. Not a dime. You just cannot. It's yours to use and yours only. Okay? It's copyrighted, so it's yours only. And what you do is you ask us, and we'll put you in, and you'll get an invitation on email. You take an invitation, you go in, you set up your own password, and then you can go and you can get all those videos. So especially those that are doing children's church, you can go through all that children's church material and see if there's something in there that really strikes your fancy, because that would be so awesome to see that coming up. Amen. So it's going to be awesome. I've used it this week. I've looked over some stuff when I was at the house. I looked over stuff here while I was at work. And so there's good stuff. No longer are we going to be stuck with just, 10 videos, or 10 different styles. I got more than 10 videos. What I'm saying is now we've got our hands in about 6,000 videos. Okay? And so what I got to do is we got to hook it up in there, and I'm getting ready to do that, hook it all up in there. So for children's church, you'll never again have to wonder what we're going to have, what we're going to do. So if y'all go through and see something you like, then you can tell us and we can go ahead and get it started and get it all working. And we want your input. Matter of fact, see, this isn't all about just a few of us making all these decisions. This is about us collectively taking care of our kids. Amen. So if you see something you like, tell us. We got to get together and see what we like, okay? And this is all family-oriented. None of this, there's not going to be any junk. You're not going to get the ultimate warrior unless it's got to do with Christ, who is the ultimate warrior, okay? So y'all looking so excited. Amen. Well, can I talk to you for just a few minutes before I even get started? I just want to talk a little bit. I know you say you always talk. Yeah, I do. That's my gift. I took a test when I first went to school to find out what my strengths were. And my number one strength, believe it or not, is called woo. W-O-O. Woo. I didn't say poo. I said woo. And that was my number one strength, and that was the ability to communicate and the ability to talk and to get stuff across. And so I didn't say it. That's what they did. So next time you think, hey, he just won't quit talking, say, no, he's just full of woo. Not full of poo, full of woo. Okay, let me see if I can get this thing here going again. Praise God. God's awesome. All the time, God is awesome. Let's see, get this one here. Also, be praying for Brad. Brad's got an infection, a bladder infection, and I know that's got to be terrible. Please pray for him. He sent something this morning, so please get the church praying for him. Also, there's some other folks just came in my head while ago while I was playing that needed prayer, and I won't go into all of it other than let's go ahead and be praying. We got a lot of folks that we need to be praying for. They've got necessary, need to have God in their life, amen, to help them get through what they're getting through, amen. Now, how many know that Valentine's Day was last week? Right, remember, and I love this one. If you love something, we're talking about soulmates. You're going to want to hear this because this is the second part of soulmates. I told you that it was going to be a little different than last week. Last week was very comical, and it talked about soulmates. This week's going to be a lot more in-depth, and I want you to listen carefully. Matter of fact, if you're going to take notes on any sermon, take it today. And you say, what if I'm not married? It doesn't matter. Soulmates do not have to be your husband and wife. Your soulmates can be a friend. Your soulmates can be a co-worker. Your soulmate can be a brother or a sister. Also, though, there's different kinds of soulmates. You may have several soulmates in your life. One should be always, ultimately, the number one soulmate in your life should be your spouse. Okay? But you also have other soulmates, people that you can confide in, trust in, people that you literally would lay your life down for, and they would lay their life down for you. Those kind of people, soulmates. All right. If you love something, set it free. How many's ever heard that? If it comes back, it was and always will be yours. Isn't that cool? If it never returns, it was never yours to begin with. How many's ever heard that? How many's ever said that? Well, I got a little extra to it. If it just sits in your living room, messes up your stuff, eats your food, uses your telephone, takes your money, never behaves as if you actually set it free in the first place, you either married it or gave birth to it. Okay. So here we go. We're going to talk right now. I told you I'm just going to talk a little bit before we start the slideshow, okay? Why do we pick our spouse? Why do we? Matter of fact, not just why do we pick our spouse, because our spouse should be our soulmate, okay? So why do we pick our soulmate? Do you think it's just a matter of chemistry? It's a matter, you know, well, it's just chemistry. Or I just fell in love. Well, love means, if I fell in love, means there was an accident happened. No. Matter of fact, you might not realize this, and I'm going to talk about it in a minute. I'm going to explain why God genetically engineered us to find our soulmate. Wow. Some of you got it and didn't even realize you had it. Come on, y'all. Don't shout me down. Some of you didn't realize that God was in the end and all the time. He said, well, I weren't a Christian when I got my wife. And so now that I am a Christian, and is she my soulmate? Did I pick her? Or did God help me? Let me tell you something. Even if you were not a Christian, remember, God genetically wired you to find your soulmate. Now, again, saved or not saved, inside of you, believe it or not, you were looking for your soulmate. See, we must understand this now. This is going to get hard. That's why it's not even up there. You're taking notes, take it. Listen to this now. We must understand that we are both husband and wife, or your other soulmate, whether it be a friend or whatever, but especially your wife or your husband. You are both unhealed and incomplete. Can I say it any louder? Husband and wife, you are both unhealed and incomplete. Now listen to this one. This is going to get you. God sends you a spouse to help fix you. Uh-oh. Shut up, preacher. Just go on home. Now listen. It's not what you're thinking. Matter of fact, you may say, well, I don't feel very healed. I don't feel very complete. What in the world are you talking about? Why are you sending me a spouse to heal me? Why are you sending a spouse to complete me? See, when we date, listen carefully. When we date, we're in performance mode. Did you know that? Always got to have the hair slicked back. Got to have the car waxed. Got to have the seats clean. You got to have it just right. You go to the nicest McDonald's in town. You go to the one on this side of town because it's nice versus the one that's kind of slack. You're always thinking about each other. You're always thinking about What can I do to make things right? How can I? I'm thinking about them all the time. What happens is, listen carefully, once we say I do, what? I heard somebody say, once you say you do, you're done. Okay. What? This is the problem. Listen carefully. Once you say I do, you go out of the performance mode into the actual mode. You see, again, but when you're dating him, you know there's some differences, but until you get married, you don't realize how many differences there are. Matter of fact, you're thinking, what in the world have I done? Was I even thinking? They are so different than I thought they were. You see, the problem is we become secure in our relationship. You know, remember there's three types of rings for weddings. There's the wedding ring, the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the suffering. You see, when we're dating, we're not secure because we don't have them. But once they sign that dotted line, remember, in the world's eyes, it's a contract. In God's eyes, it's a covenant. The world's eyes, that contract limits responsibilities and it protects you. But a covenant increases your responsibility and you throw the protection to the wind. Now I'm protecting my mate. Okay, this is not my word, it's God's word. I didn't make it up this morning. I didn't come along and say, that's what I can say that sounds good. No, this is God's word. So what happens is we get married, we become secure in our relationships, and then we begin to take each other for granted. And as we begin to take each other for granted, it's at this point we're about to go crazy. At this point, we're ready to start. You know, Daniel was throwing drumsticks at me last week because I was getting into it. And Daniel's trying to get my attention. Next thing I know, I'm getting hit in the back with something. I'm trying to look, and there's a drumstick thrown at me. Daniel says, Daddy, will you please get out of Jimi Hendrix mode and turn around and look at me? I said, well, it was getting good to me. He says, yeah, it was getting good to you, but you were not in the right order. See, some of us, our spouse is throwing drumsticks at us. And we think that everything's cool, that we're doing good, but we're not meeting their need. We're meeting their need in our eyes, but we're not meeting their need in their eyes. And so what's this now? So begin to take each other for granted. And here's where we start to say, well, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, I didn't marry my soulmate. Just maybe, God, one of us messed up. Me, you, or her, one of us messed up. Well, before you throw in the towel, this is what this is for today. You know, before you throw in the towel, let me ask you a question. I want everybody to put their hand up too. Do you believe that God is sovereign? You know, it drives me crazy when I hear these real legalistic people, these old mean old Christians. I mean mean old Christians. They get around and go, you go ahead and pray all you want to, but God don't hear the prayer of a sinner. You're bound for hell. Somebody said it just the other day, and I said, well, it's amazing to me how he answered a lot of prayers for me before I was saved. And he kept me out of trouble. And I can see how he directed my life before I ever even knew him. And he put me in the right place at the right time to meet the right people, even though I didn't even know. So look, do you believe God is sovereign? That means he's in control even when I'm not. That means he's in control even when I have no idea what's going on. So do you believe God has a purpose for each of us? Do you believe that God has a purpose for your marriage? Now, if you believe God has a purpose for your marriage, then quit letting this stuff drive you crazy and let it drive you together. You see, you're going to be different. Your wife and you, your husband and you, you're going to be different. We talked about it last week, and I'm going to talk about it just briefly today. The myth of a soulmate is if your soulmate is going to be exactly like you, your soulmate will not be anything like you. And I'm going to explain it biblically. I'm getting ready to explain it. You see, when we date on a subconscious level. All we can think about is, oh, it'd be so nice to have that man or that woman I can live with and wake up with every morning, and we can go through the park, and it's going to be hunky-dory. We'll have picnics every weekend. And we'll go on the dates, and we'll just, Oh, I can't wait. Oh, if we could just get married, all life will be wonderful. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Let me tell you something. See, when you date, it's a subconscious level. Watch this. A dating relationship is like hitting an iceberg. You only see 10% of the iceberg, maybe 20. 80 to 90% of the iceberg is below the surface. Come on. And so because 80, 90% of the iceberg is under the surface, you never see that 80, 90%. All you see is that 10 or 20% and you're thinking, her hair's always pretty, she always smells nice, she's always speaking good to me. I mean, I can even mess up and she goes, that's okay, dear. Until you put that on. Matter of fact, my granddaddy, how many's ever ringed hog noses? Whenever we, look, I'm from a farm. I mean, I weren't a farmer, but my granddaddy, and I've helped farmers in my church. We'd always detusk them, and we'd do other things, cut off other things that they didn't need. And we would put a ring in their nose. Why you put a ring in their nose? So it keeps them from rooting, getting out of the way. Also keeps them, now when they start messing up, you can pop that nose and they'll calm down. Okay? So I seen a few people, I said, instead of putting that wedding ring on your finger, I should have put it right there. Amen. So again, watch this now. And this is good stuff. I know you might not think so, but watch. We don't see, all we see is the 10 or 20%, but after we get married, the 80% begins to rise. And we go, Lord have mercy, what have I done? I have married Satan's ex-wife. What have I done? I have married Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Not realizing now we've gone off a subconscious level. Now we're on a conscious level. And then we begin to see deeper and deeper and deeper. And it begins to drive us crazy. But you got to remember something. When God wired us to find them, He already knew about the 80%. It didn't take Him by surprise. God, you go, God, I don't understand. I didn't know that he was like this. I didn't know she was like this. I can see God going, I didn't either. Oh, it's fine. I'm gonna give her a copy of it. So I give her a copy of everything. Look, this is what I do. It's okay. If it hurts me, I mean, if it makes me go ouch, I mean hurt. Makes me go ouch, I'll go ouch. If it makes her go ouch, then she'll go ouch. If it makes both of us go ouch, we'll both go ouch. Watch. Okay. So now you have to understand God sees the whole iceberg, and He hardwired you to find that person with all 80%. You think you're looking at trying to find a complete somebody just like you, but instead, you're looking for somebody that's the actual opposite. I'm going to give it to you biblically in just a minute, but let's just get going here. Okay. Soulmates, get ready. We talked about this last week. A soulmate is someone who is aligned with your soul, your heart, your mind, your emotions, your will. Is sent to challenge you, awake you, to stir you in order that you can become better with that soulmate than you could become without that soulmate. So now, here we go. You get ready to ask, oh, look, ain't that sweet? Ain't that sweet? Now, if I pull back after a week later, I can pull back and you can see horns and pitchforks and boxing gloves. You know, matter of fact, we see the bride and groom coming down the aisle, and the bride's coming down the aisle dressed all in white, and the man's dressed all in black, and they come all down here looking so styling and profiling. If the truth be known, and we did it right, she'd be coming down, instead of carrying a bouquet, she'd be holding an IV bottle. And he'd be going down here like that guy, because we're all broken. We're all hurt. We've all got skeletons in our closet. Some of us got skeletons on the rearview mirror. And so it's all there. So that nice little fairy tale is just what it is, a fairy tale. Marriage is a four-letter word. And that four-letter word is W-O-R-K, work. Amen? Now, if you tell me, well, we never argue. We never argue, never have a cross word. Watch out. One of you is just holding back. And when it does cut loose, watch out. There will be blood. Okay. So why do I pick my spouse? Why do I pick my soulmate? Because remember, you're both unhealed. This is what I put up here. I just told you. They're there to fix you. So again, I'm putting this all up here again. Now I'm putting it where you can see it. You know, you say, I don't feel healed. Remember, this is all taking place in the dating mode. After you get married, you turn actual and everything gets bad. So watch this. At this point, you say they're not my soulmate. So watch this. Here we go. Soulmates. Are you a soulmate? Or has your soulmate become a stalemate? And again, like last week, or has it become a cellmate? C-E-L-L. Amen. So watch this. God's reason for marriage. I'm just going to go through a couple of slides. That's it. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. Out of the ground. Listen carefully. Out of the ground, he formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam would call every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave the names to all the cattle, to the fowls of the air, and to every beast of the field. But Adam, there was not a helpmeet for him. Now remember, how did Adam get here? He was formed out of the dust, the dirt. Okay? So Adam's formed out of the dirt. The animals are formed out of the dirt. Be careful. Now, you always wonder, why is this way? This is why they're your soulmate. Watch this. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. Matter of fact, he said, Lord, you need to help me. And he said, Lord, what if I could get one that did all the cooking, all the washing, never complained, was always there, took care of me hand and foot, waited on me hand and foot, never opened her mouth. Of course, he said, that'll cost you two hands, two feet, and an eyeball. He said, what can I get for a rib? I'm playing. Okay. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs. Listen carefully to this now. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Woman, man with the womb. And the Lord said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Did he say about any animal? Okay. Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she's taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother. Doesn't mean that you can't have a relationship with your father and mother. What it means is you've transferred responsibility from one family to another. Now you're not the son listening to mom and dad. Now you are the husband building your own family, and there's going to come a time when the children you raise are going to do the same thing, meaning there's still communication, but the responsibilities change. Okay, so therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. One flesh. Listen again. Somebody say soulmate. One flesh. Soulmate. Okay, so, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Amen. So now let's just go a little further into that scripture. This scripture here is very, very powerful. Watch this. We're going to go a little bit deeper into the scripture. Come on, buddy. You can do it. There you go. All right. Now watch. This is Adam and Eve. Now, in the garden, God said, it's not good that man should be alone. Man was incomplete. He did not have a helpmeet. All the other animals, there was two by two. Everybody had their equal opposite. But man didn't have his equal opposite. All man had was man. So God said, I will make him a helpmeet. Ladies, you're going to really like this. That word helpmeet is adsar, which means to supply what is lacking. Wow. Do you know that's also used of the Holy Spirit? Helpmeet. That word is used in the Hebrew for Holy Spirit. One called along beside to help you, to aid you, to actually supply what is lacking. Jesus said in the New Testament, someone said, you know, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send you a comforter, another comforter, and he's going to be with you, and he's going to talk to you, and he's going to give you what is lacking in your life. So, woman, your role here in this marriage deal is like the Holy Spirit. You are called to supply what is lacking. You're from his rib not from dirt. Man is from dirt. Woman's from the rib. So listen carefully. God intentionally, when he took the rib out of Adam, God intentionally makes him incomplete. Not only does God make him intentionally incomplete, he takes what he took from man and he makes a woman. So what happens is, in order for man to be complete, the woman's got the stuff he needs to make him complete. And so they get together, and when they get together and become one flesh, now they complete each other. Do you know you spent your time dating? I know you're going to think this is crazy. You spent your time dating looking for your rib. Did you know that? Well, when you're dating, you're walking around looking for your rib. And ladies, you're walking around looking for a rib cage. You're looking for a fit. Amen? And so remember, this is not marriage. This is not marriage. Look, this is not marriage. This is marriage. Okay? That is not marriage. That's a contract. This is marriage. It's a covenant. No, but see, this way, I'm not connecting the dots. This way, now, what's lacking with this one is the tape made up with this one. What's lacking with this one is made up with this one. That's marriage. That's your soulmate. Okay? So again, it's a sign that he was incomplete, and she was actually made from the lacking part. Isn't that something? She's made from the lacking part, so she is actually your perfect companion. So I want you to look at your wife right now, fellas. Here's your brownie points for today. If you don't take it, it's your own fault. Look at your wife and say, "You're my perfect companion, thank God." Guys, if your wife isn't here today, as soon as you get home, I want you to say, "Thank God you're my perfect companion." When you first get in the doors, first say that. Before you say anything else, I guarantee you, you'll get at least 2 or 3 points that'll last for at least 5 minutes. Okay. Okay. So watch this now. Watch this. Watch carefully. God knew that Adam didn't need another Adam. He didn't need another Adam. Another Adam meant that there still was no one there to fill the gaps. You had two incomplete people, two men. If Adam and Adam were there, they would never be soulmates in that capacity for marriage because they don't complete each other. Now, here we go. Watch this out. He needed someone to fill in the gap, somebody to complement. Needed somebody that could actually complete them. So let's just look at this for a minute. Just for a minute. Now that was all. You got all the things from last week. Oh, look at there. Soulmates. Isn't that cute? That is so cute. I just want to sit and look at it for a while. You got the key to my heart, Miss Crump. I love you, Miss Crump. Y'all remember Ernest T. Bass on Andy Griffith Show? I love you, Miss Crump. Okay, watch this. Here's about soulmates. A soulmate is someone who has the locks that fit my keys. And I have the keys that fit their locks. See? It's not this. It's this. This is powerful stuff. Matter of fact, if you can get this in your head, this will help you through a lot of trouble that you may be having at this moment. See, the truth about soulmates are they are two complete, incomplete vessels. They're two broken vessels. They're filled with weaknesses, but our soulmate strengths make up for our weaknesses. Got it. I've got to have my soulmate in order for me to be complete. So watch this. Here's from last week. Well, I told you about last week about the myths of soulmates. Just in case you weren't here, you get a chance to see it. If you were here, you get a chance to see it again. Here's a myth. My soulmate will be just like me. Nope, your soulmate is going to be just as opposite as he can be or she can be. You just don't see it when you're dating because you haven't seen but 10% of the iceberg. that 80% is submerged is so much different than you. And when you, and you know, when it said, when I'm up here and I say, and now the two, let no man put asunder, the two shall be one flesh, let no man put asunder, they spend the next 6 months to 3 years trying to figure out which flesh they were going to be. They said we're going to be one flesh, so do this. No, you do this. No, you do this. Now let's figure this out. So he's going to be like me. The second myth is if they're your soulmate, there will be no issues and no problems. They'll always be in love. No. You can wake up and want to see your soulmate and say, if I look at him or her one more time, I think I'm going to throw up. It's okay. You might look at your soulmate and say, you know what? Can you go sing on a hill far away? Far, far away. Matter of fact, you may get it one time with your soulmate, and all you can think about is putting them on a boat and just shipping them to China. But they're still your soulmate. And watch this. You think that if you got your soulmate, you'll always be happy and they will always meet your needs. Let me tell you something about people. No person can always make you happy. No person can always meet your need. And happiness foundations always come from God. Not from man, from God. So now here's your question. Now you say, okay, now you got us all stirred up now. How do I find my perfect soulmate? Well, right now, if you're married, you're sitting by him. This is not a license to say, okay, he said to you, you're my perfect soulmate, I'm gone. Nope. If you're married today and you're sitting by him, you found your perfect soulmate. You say, well, they don't feel so perfect. Wait till I get through. I ain't even started digging yet. And I got a big shovel. Get ready. First, let's look at some scriptures. That's why I just looked at some scriptures for soulmates. There's more, but I just looked these up here, soulmate scriptures. Remember, your soulmate, you know, your soulmate can, there's also your marriage soulmate, but there's also friends. You might say they're your best friend or your sister or your brother or somebody else. So the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. That's soulmates. Okay? They were not gay. They were not having some kind of gay guy thing. They were just what you call bromance. You know, these guys here just loved each other in a non-sexual way. And it's a very powerful, powerful thing. Deuteronomy 13:6. He says, thy friend which is as thy own soul. And then now here's marriage. I have found the one whom my soul love, Song of Solomon. So I just gave you a few. There's more scriptures, but I'm just giving you a few there. So get ready. How do I find my perfect soulmate? If you're already with them, here's your question. How do I get them to understand they need to be my perfect soulmate? Get them, preacher. Get them. Sick them. Have you ever prayed before and said, Lord, sick them? You see my husband, you see my wife, they are not doing right. Sick them. I'm the only one. I didn't say sick them. I just said, Lord, they're in your hands. There's a difference. Okay, get ready. Get ready. How do I make my soulmate understand that they got to tighten up? Some of y'all are smiling. Some of y'all are going. Matter of fact, you can quit holding your breath now. You can breathe. Get ready. Here it is. Quit searching for the perfect soulmate. Be the perfect soulmate. Do you know that the way relationships work, that you actually, if you're not married, you want to, look, matter of fact, let me just put the rest of it up here to show you this. Instead of searching for the perfect soulmate, if you be the perfect soulmate, you'll begin to attract the perfect soulmate. If you're married and you're thinking, well, you need to get my wife or get my husband because they ain't understanding this, the Bible gives us plenty of instructions. Be the perfect soulmate. Because if you can be the perfect soulmate, it will eventually quit bouncing off of them and they'll start absorbing it. And as they start absorbing it, then they're going to reflect back what you were giving to them. Maybe not to start with. This is where the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. What it means is agape giving without expecting anything in return, even when it hurts, covers, puts aside, goes beyond the sin. I can guarantee you, there's a lot of people in my life that I had to let agape cover a multitude of sin. Because if I didn't, I'd want to get back at them. I'd want to hurt them. I'd want to do all kinds of things. But I let love cover a multitude of sin. And the same way with your spouses. So many times we forget that our spouse is the same way. So now watch this. Instead of wanting your spouse to be the perfect spouse and what can I do to make them perfect, why don't you try being the perfect spouse? Why don't you try being the perfect soulmate and watch what happens? Matter of fact, I guarantee you, if you can learn to bathe yourself in agape and then give it, and bathe yourself in what you consider to be the perfect soulmate and give it, you'll be amazed at the transformation that will take place with your soulmate. They'll change. And the way they change is you didn't change them, you changed you, because in truth, the only person you can change is you. You're the only one. So watch this. Here we go. We're going to go here. Here you go. Will leading emotions, emotions leading will. Watch this. What is a soul? A soul is your will, your emotions, and your mind, your heart. So watch this. One of the biggest decisions in our life is we need to let our will rule our emotions. There's times you want to kill them. I know some of y'all are so sanctified and holy, you never thought about killing them, but I'm telling you. Deep down inside, you did want to kill them. Maybe not dead, but kill them. Emotions are riding high. When emotions get riding high, we start doing some silly things. Not only do some silly things, sometimes with our soulmate, when our emotions get riding high, we do some stupid things. If you let your emotions override your will, the Bible calls you weak-willed anyway when that happens. If you let your emotions override your will, then you're in trouble and your soulmate's in trouble. So, if I want my soulmate to feel comfort and to feel God touching them through me, because it's my job as a soulmate to let them feel, look, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? If one falls, it's good to walk together because one falls, the other picks them up. If two are walking together, two can stay warm or one won't. And so how can you give them warmth? How can you pick them up if you're letting your emotions override your will? You've got to push your emotions to the back. I try it. Sometimes it's hard. But Lord knows I try. I try to keep my emotions in check. It don't always work because I am called a human being. But I try my best to keep my emotions under check because let me tell you something. In the end, the Bible tells us your heart is deceitful. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful. Your emotions are deceitful. Your emotions will get you doing stupid stuff. Your emotions will cause you to do things. That's why people play on your emotions. They put on TV, once you send money to us, and they put all these pictures of all this stuff, all this bad stuff happening. You know, I looked up a charity the other day that somebody was donating to. And this person donated a lot of money to this charity. And I won't get into the charity, but I will tell you this. They talked about they were feeding some hungry people. And I'm not saying all of them are like this, because you got places like Billy Graham's Institute, and you got some guys, other guys that they've been checked, and you can see how much their stuff's going out. But this one place that was taking money and taking a lot of money from innocent older people, the CEO of the CEO of this charity made $200,000 a year. The CEO of this charity. They took in $24 million and only 30% went to help. The rest was in overhead. Wow. It's crazy. They don't tell you that. Send to us. We're going to take and look at all these bad pictures and show you how bad everything is. Well, the next time you show me those bad pictures, show me the CEO riding around in his Bentley. Why are you showing me those poor people? Next time, show me all your staff making $100,000, $200,000 a year. Show me that. Well, you show me these other pictures. So the same way, but they play on your emotions. And then here you go, on your emotions, you're feeding the monster. In our own life, with our own people, with our own soulmate, if we're not careful, our emotions will cause us to get in over our head, to be deceived, and to despise our soulmate, not realizing that we have to let our will override our emotions. Countless times in life, your will has to say no to your emotions. Just say no. They're talking about drugs. Just say no. Sometimes just us, period. You say, see, here it goes, and I'm almost through. Somebody's going, thank God. Whew. Some of y'all guys, I ain't seen y'all sweat like that in quite a while. Watch. It's not a matter of chance, but a matter of choice. It's not what am I getting. You want the perfect soulmate. It's not what I'm getting. It's what am I giving. I made my mind up a long time ago. When I stand before God, I'm not going to stand before God in any of my relationships. And he's going to say, well, you know what? You think you could have done a little better? Yeah, but they didn't want to do any better, so I didn't either. He's going to go, oh, really? That's nice. I'm sorry. If you told me that, I would have never even said anything. No. So watch this. Watch this now. Listen carefully. Here we go. It's not what I'm getting in this marriage. It's what I'm giving. And you better be giving it without strings attached. It's called agape. No strings attached. I'm going to give it whether you give it back or not. I'm going to give it. And I'm going to keep giving it because that's what God requires of me. And husbands, I hate to do this to you, but if you look in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, there's only 2 commands for women in the marriage, and there's 12 for guys. Women, you are to honor and respect your husband. Husbands, you are to love your wives, and God tells you exactly how to love your wife. You know why God tells us to love and has to give us all those, has to keep telling us? Is because men are not built that way. And I'll go to that one later, but right now I think y'all can breathe a little bit. I'm not going there now. Get ready. How do I become? Oh, look at that. I love it. How do I become what I'm looking for? Somebody said he trapped us in here. We're like, this is like Pitt Detention Center tonight. How do I become what I'm looking for? Wives, you want your husbands to be better? Husbands, you want your wife to be better? What if I've been given and they're not taking the bait? It's not bait. You're giving them out of pure love and out of pure godly agape. It covers a multitude of sins. So watch this. Here it is. 3 choices. Choice number 1, and I'm getting ready to close. Getting ready. I still got about 20 minutes, but we'll get there. Empathy. Husbands, if you want your wife to be what you're looking for, wife, if you want your husband to be what you're looking for, it's on both sides of the coin. Don't even go there and say, see, honey, I want you to take the mirror and hold it to yourself. Quit looking out the window and looking at your husband and wife going, look in, get the mirrors out. These are mirrors now. I need you, everybody, get your mirror out. Empathy. Empathy. Empathy is simply understanding and entering into another's feelings. Remember, there comes a time when we start taking each other for granted. There comes a time when the love gets cold. The eros and the philia gets cold, and we forget about agape, and we just start detaching. When there's no eros, when there's no philia, agape can bring you back together. The difference is eros and philia and storge all gives expecting to receive. Agape gives expecting nothing in return. I'm just giving. Okay? You say, well, why should I do that? Well, don't you think Christ did that for you on the cross? Don't you think Christ did that when he was being spit on and beat on and had his beard plucked out? Don't you think he did that when he came down from heaven having everything at his fingertips and he walked this earth, walked everywhere he went? So watch. Watch this now. Watch this. When you're dating, we're all extremely empathetic. I mean, when we're dating, watch this. We're careful what we say. We're careful what we do. We're very sensitive to our surroundings. Honey, is this woman enough for you? Honey, can I get you something? Are you thirsty? Can I fill that glass for you? And now it's, you hungry? Yes, ma'am. How about I go get you something to eat then? I like what Archie Bunker said. They told Archie Bunker to be a little bit more compassionate to Edith. So he said, Edith? She said, yes. He said, would you like a sandwich, honey? She said, yes. He said, well, why are you making mine make you one too? That was Archie Bunker's empathy. Okay, so in order to guard and positively affect their feelings, that's what you're doing when you're dating. But oh, ha, 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 after you've been married for a while, empathy usually is a bumpy road because you're not always getting back the empathy that you're given, forgetting that this isn't about getting back what you're given, because if it's all about getting back what you're given, how many have children? How many children has actually, their whole life really thanked you for everything you did for them and the sacrifices you made and was right there and always telling you, Mom, Dad, you're the greatest because of all the things you've done for me. You want to raise your hand? If you do, we're going to have a casting out a lying spirit service. The same way, listen, my spouse, whether she returns it or not, I'm going to give it. Your spouse, whether return or not, you give it, because you know what? Eventually, it will tear down any walls that are built. Eventually. Okay? So watch this. If bullfrogs had wings, they wouldn't bump their honey every time they hop. You ever hear that country saying? Okay, good. I want to make sure I'm still in the right country. If you can practice empathy 5 minutes a day, just five. Can somebody say 5 minutes? You know, a lot of times we don't even spend 5 minutes talking to our spouse a day. If we can spend 5 minutes a day, your mate will begin to feel protected, safe, and appreciated. Did I say 5 hours? Did I say 5 days? I said 5 minutes a day. Honey, when they're telling you, I really hate that happened. Watch this. I'll give you a little example. Honey, I really hate when that happened. I was there and I was at work and I thought I was getting it done. And all of a sudden somebody come in and they gave me the wrong stuff. And I'm trying to get it right. While I'm trying to get it right, somebody else comes in. Old Miss Brown Noser, she's trying to get her promotion. She comes on, makes me look bad. And she comes in and messes me up. And now the boss is on my back, blah, blah, blah. And you go, huh? That's not empathy. Oh, watch this one.
Wah, 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 wah.
That's not only is that not empathy, that's asking for her to knock your lights out. Here's empathy. Watch this. Watch. I'm so sorry, dear. How did that make you feel? And she don't even want you to fix it. She just wants you to listen. That's it. Act like you care, even if it's acting. Because eventually they won't be acting. Okay? How'd that make you feel? Because the more you practice it, it goes from acting to the real thing. You see, again, after we say I do, we get too comfortable. Now we get too comfortable, we lose interest, we take each other for granted, we verbally abuse one another. Oh, you think you got problems? You should have been with me today. Yeah, 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 nag, nag, nag. They probably got mad, got tired of hearing you nag, and that's why they did it. It had nothing to do with that brown noser. It had to do with you being a nag. Let me tell you how bad I had it today. I'm telling you what, you getting ready to see sparks fly. either from this way or from that way. Watch this. So simple. Watch this. Watch this. Hold out your hand, Sister Dorothy. You're safe. I can do this with you. But hold out your hand. Dear, I'm so sorry that it hurt your feelings today. Tell me how that felt. I really want to know. You know what? Wow. Matter of fact, all of a sudden, you are the man. Versus the target. You're the man. So now, watch this. Watch. I'm almost through. Some of y'all still looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. Some are saying, please, will you please hush? Somebody said, I wish you had a piece of candy in his mouth so he would choke on it. Amen. Here's the kicker. Get ready, fellas and women. This is empathy. Watch this. I love it. Empathy says, I wonder what it's like to be married to me. Y'all keep getting quieter and quieter. I can hear a pin drop right here on the carpet. Here's what I want you to do every day, in every relationship, whether it be your soulmate married or your soulmate other or just people that you run in contact with. What is it like to be married to me? My wife told me one night, she said, she's trying to tell me something. I didn't even pay attention. I'm daddy's home. I'm trying to get her to daddy's. So I get her to daddy's, and daddy needs something. So I run back through the house, and she's trying to say, hey, I need to. And I go, hey, how's it going? You're looking good. Yeah, all right. And I go through, and I grab that, and I come back through. And then daddy says, I sure needed something else. So I come back through the house, and she's going, well, honey, can we? And I, hey, you keep hold that thought. And I come back, and she finally texts me and said, trying to catch you is like trying to catch a gnat. You know what I did when she said that? I said, she looks like she's joking, but there's more to that joke. I said, Daddy, I'll be right back. And I walked back over, and I said, I'm sorry, dear. What you need? You see, again, I wonder what it's like to be married to me. I wonder what it's like to have me as a son. I wonder what it's like to have me as a brother. I wonder what it's like to have me as a pastor. I wonder what it's like to have me as a friend. Have you ever stopped and thought about that? We think about our spouse and we're thinking about, I got to put up with him. How about this? Quit thinking about that you got to put up with them and think, what are they putting up with me? What are they putting up with? What are they just letting go by? Why do they get tired of letting go by eventually and just take care of it? You say, my words. My lack of words. How is it to be married to me? My words, I'm engaged. My lack of words, I'm not engaged. My silence, I just say nothing. I just sit there and stare into the television set. My sarcasm. Well, you had it coming. I told you if you didn't tighten up, they were going to get you on that job. Oh, they're really good. How does it make them feel to be married to us? Wow. Now, let's see this. Number two, generosity. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:25, the generous soul will be made rich. He who waters will also be watered himself. So watch this now. The generous soul, and I'm getting ready to close. DC, come on up here. Get ready. The generous soul, BJ, whoever's coming up here, y'all come on. The generous soul is a choice. It can have emotion with it, but it doesn't have to. When you date, you give words, attention, care. Soulmates invest in each other. It begins with you. Don't just reap what you sow, don't just reap what you sow, but you also reap where you sow. Have you ever seen people that can be good to everybody else around them to get home and they treat their family bad? I wonder why their wife's talking about leaving. Everywhere else, I can treat everybody else good, but I get home and I treat my wife like she's a monster. You sow, you reap what you sow, but you also reap where you sow. If I put tomatoes over here and I put apple seeds over here, I'm not going to reap apples over here. I'm going to reap apples where the apple seeds are, and I'm going to reap tomatoes where tomato seeds are. If I'm outside the house, I am Mr. Wonderful. and inside the house I'm Ivan the Terrible, then don't expect my house to be acting and responding to me the way this crowd responds to me. So, and I put so, I should have put so as in S-O-W, sow your soul to your spouse and you will reap their soul. Sow your soul to your spouse and you reap their soul. And finally, one more and I'm closing. Somebody say praise God. Priority. Listen carefully. It's important that your marriage comes first. It's got to. Matter of fact, marriage only works in first place. Husbands, wives, listen carefully. This is so important. Marriage only works in first place. It will not work in any other place. It's before anything. Your kids, your church, your work. The only thing that comes before your marriage is your relationship with God. That's it. That's the only thing. That's not me talking. That's the Bible. So now, with that in thought, you see, when we're dating, we put them first. But after marriage, they just start slipping in priority. I've had many a husband tell me, I really felt like my wife loved to be around me until we started having kids. Now all I do is hear about kids all day. Or the wife said, I really thought he loved me until he started this job. And now I hear about his job all day. I don't hear about me. I just hear about the job. Marriage only works in first place with God being above it. That's it. So now, one more slide. So simple. How do I become what I'm looking for? It begins with me. If I want to see my soulmate rise to the occasion, then I need to rise first. Because if I don't rise first, we're both going down. I have to rise first. I've noticed in just life in general, there was workers that I worked with. And there's people that I was associated with that were hard to get along with. And I honestly would have rather been anywhere but there. But the Lord kept putting me in their place so I'd have to be there with them. So instead of pushing them away, I discovered if I started pulling them toward me, amazing things started happening. Because I started pulling them toward me and started using empathy with just the people. It's amazing. Empathy, generosity, priority. I have some of the people that other people said were the worst people they'd ever met are some of my best friends. And why? Because I refused to listen to what they said. Instead, I said, God, help me to be what I need to be to help them. And if it works with people I didn't even know to begin with, what do you think about your own family? What do think about your church family? What do you think about your wife, your husband? Empathy. What is it like to be married to me? Wow. Generosity. Don't just lay on the couch and bark orders. Get up and do something. Show your spouse they are your number one. Number three, make that relationship a priority. You keep dishing out agape, even if they're dishing back things you don't like. If you keep dishing agape, eventually agape always wins. Agape always wins. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when it talks about love and all this stuff, it talks about the greatest of these. And in the end, it says, love, agape, never fails. Ever. I tell you what, I haven't argued by, I've had problems in family and in church and at work, and I never argued them back in. But I agape them back in every time. I preached that funeral for my cousin a couple weeks ago. And I had an uncle that when I was younger, we got along real good. And as I got older and I became a Christian, I started pulling away from him because we actually lived opposite, polar opposite lives. And I didn't realize it, but he was offended by me pushing him to the side. He was thinking I thought I was better than him. I didn't realize that. And so he would attack me and I would start attacking him back. And the Lord told me one day, said, you'll never do it like that. You'll never win him like that. You never one up him. You got to love him. I said, Lord, I don't want to love him. He said, I didn't ask you, did you want to love him? Agape. Love him. And so I started showing agape. When he would attack me, I'd show agape. He'd attack and I'd show agape. He'd attack and I'd show agape. And after a few of these attacks, the attacks quit. And next thing I know, he started pulling me to him. And pulling me. You know why? Because I became that magnet. His son came to the funeral, looked just like his daddy. When he came walking up, it shocked me because I thought I was looking at his daddy who I'd buried years ago. And it brought me back to that time that I buried a man that had a relationship. However crazy, he had a relationship with God that he wouldn't have had if I'd have kept pushing. But I became the magnet. And I became the magnet. I drew him to me instead of repelling him. Here's your assignment this week. I'm not sure what we're preaching next week. We may do. I tell you, if I'm going to tell you I'm doing Ephesians chapter 5, nobody will show up. I'm going to have to sneak attack you on that one. Your assignment this week and from here on out, instead of pushing away your soulmate, pushing away people, ask God to help you be like that magnet we just saw. God, let me be a magnet. God, let me be a magnet. Let's see if I can find that magnet. That would be cool. Where's he at? Let's see here. Where'd that magnet go? It's coming up. I know. I see it. 1, 2, 3. Here we go. Get ready. There it is. God is what I want to be. Let me be an agape magnet. No matter how bad it is, let me be an agape magnet and watch you do the rest of it, God. Let's all come up here. If you got a matter of fact, I'm just going to say, let's all come up here and pray. All that will come up here and pray. Not going to call anything specific. Just ask everybody that will come up here and pray. Husbands, grab your wife by the hand. Bring her up here with you. They want you to lead them spiritually. Lead them. You got a wife, grab her by the hand and bring her up here. If your spouse sitting with you, come up and pray for your spouse. All that will. Maybe your spouse is in heaven. Maybe you don't have a spouse. Maybe along the way, you and your spouse are no longer together. We can still pray. 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 God, help me be an agape magnet. Help me, Lord, to be an agape magnet. Lord, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for us, Lord. I thank you for our families, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for soulmates. I thank you, God, that you're awesome, you're powerful, that you got everything in your hands, in your control, in the name of Jesus. You're sovereign. You put us together and we didn't even know it. Thank you, Father. I thank you, God, that you put that desire in man to find that missing rib, to find that thing that completes you. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you put it in that woman to find that rib cage where she fits. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Soulmates. 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 Every now and then, yes, every now and then, your soulmate will become your stalemate. But when that happens, become an agape magnet. You hear me? When they become your stalemate, don't wait for them to change. You become an agape magnet. Empathy, generosity, priority, and watch what happens. Amen? Y'all glad that God's in control? Are you glad that we serve an awesome God? Are you glad this message is over? Amen, amen, amen. Amen. God's awesome. God's awesome all the time. I love Him. I know that He's working for our good. I know there's nothing impossible for Him. And I know that even though it doesn't necessarily look like it, He's working. He's working. He's always behind the scenes. He's always working. You might shut down, but He doesn't. You may even get your computer mixed up and you got to defrag it, or you got to take it and go to the Geek Squad to get them to do something to it. Guess what? God doesn't need all that. I heard that the thing one time about the devil. The devil went up and tried to go into God's database and tear it all to pieces. And so he went and he sabotaged it and tore it all to pieces, and all the computers in heaven went down. And he called up and said, "I just messed up your stuff." He said, "What you going to do now?" I said, "We ain't got to worry about it." I said, "Why?" I said, "Don't you know Jesus saves?" All right. Y'all go ahead and do it. Go.